When the Lord had that final meal, the Last Supper with his disciples the night before he knew he would be crucified, he established for us today the holiest act of worship that we can take part in. He established the first Christian Holy Supper in which we can be conjoined with the Lord in a way that is more interior than in any other act of worship. Taking Holy Supper is something we should really look forward to doing. If you're not yet old enough to take Holy Supper, learning about Holy Supper can help you prepare for taking Holy Supper yourself someday when you are an adult. And if you are not yet old enough to take Holy Supper, learning about Holy Supper can help you understand why it is so important that the adults of this congregation come forward and take Holy Supper. For the adults, learning or reviewing the teachings that the Lord gives us on Holy Supper can help us enter even more interiorly into the uses and benefits of the Holy Supper. So this morning we're going to look at that final meal that the Lord had with his disciples. We're going to look at what the Lord did at the Last Supper. And then we're going to look at what the Lord commanded at the Last Supper. And finally, we're going to look at why the Lord commanded what he did. So that evening, the night before his crucifixion, he gathered together his disciples in an upper room that was prepared for observing the Passover. Now, you may remember the Passover went back hundreds and hundreds of years prior to when the Israelites were held captive in Egypt by Pharaoh. And the final plague, which finally caused Pharaoh to let those people go, was the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptians, and the death even of the firstborn of their livestock. But the Israelites were passed over by that plague because they followed the Lord, and the Lord said to them that they needed to observe that Passover going forward and establish a special meal that would help commemorate when they were passed over, when that final plague resulted in their liberation from Egypt. So that night, that evening before his crucifixion, the Lord was observing the Passover with his disciples. Only he did it a little bit differently that night. He took the unleavened bread that was part of the Passover as designated by the Lord, going all the way back to the first celebration of it. He took that unleavened bread and he broke it and gave thanks and passed that unleavened bread to each of his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then he took his cup of wine and passed that to each one of the disciples. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." So when we look at the Lord's institution of the very first Christian Holy Supper, it was simply the sharing of unleavened bread that he told his disciples to think of his body when they ate, and the sharing of his wine, which he told his disciples to think of his blood when they drank it. And then the command, "This do in remembrance of me." So when we look at what the Lord commanded, he quite simply commanded to eat the unleavened bread at Holy Supper and drink the wine at Holy Supper and remember the Lord. Think about the Lord when you take those elements into your body. Think about everything he has done for you. Think about everything he will do for you. Think about his love for the entire human race. But in the new church, the Lord has taught us so much more in the heavenly doctrine of his second coming about why the Holy Supper is so important and why we need to take it the way that he has commanded us. In the new church, we learn that it is an opportunity for conjunction with the Lord through correspondences that is not available in any other act of worship. The Lord teaches us what correspondences are all throughout his heavenly doctrine. And in the Arcana, he teaches us that correspondences are natural truths in which, as mirrors, spiritual truths are represented. So natural truths which act like mirrors of spiritual reality. The bread and the wine are the perfect natural truths to mirror the reality of the Lord's divine love and his truth from his divine wisdom. If we can begin to understand how correspondences work in the elements of the Holy Supper, we will be able to take part in the Holy Supper and be conjoined with the Lord in an act of worship that is more intimate than any other act of worship that there is. So let's start with the bread. The Lord explains to us that the unleavened bread of the Holy Supper is the good that comes from His divine love. If we come to the Holy Supper hungering for the Lord's love, hungering for the goodness that comes from the Lord's love, when we take that unleavened bread into our bodies, our mind is perfectly situated to receive good from the Lord that comes from His love. And that love, when we prepare and think about the love that we need from the Lord, it will replace and push out the evil loves that hell wants us to have in our minds. So when we take in that bread, it is the perfect mirror to represent the Lord's love for us, for each single one of us individually, and for the entire human race. And if we look at the particular type of bread that was used at the Holy Supper over 2,000 years ago and used now, it was unleavened bread. Why was it unleavened? Well, the Lord teaches us about what it corresponds to, and this helps us maybe even more understand the Lord's love for us. Unleavened bread has no yeast in it, no leaven. It's pure. The heavenly doctrine teaches us that unleavened bread corresponds to the Lord's pure love. And the ingredients of the unleavened bread of the Passover feast was oil and fine wheat flour. Oil corresponding to our love back to the Lord, love to the Lord, and fine wheat flour, charity toward the neighbor. So when we take that unleavened bread into our body, we can receive the good that comes from the Lord's love and then be able to love Him back and to be able to love our neighbor and practice charity toward our neighbor as we think about the unleavened bread and its ingredients as the perfect natural mirror for the spiritual reality of the good that comes from the Lord's love. And when we do this, there is a wonderful connection and communication with heaven. When we do this, or when you see adults do this and take the unleavened bread into their body, the angels are delighted. Now, they're not delighted because the bread turns into something that it isn't. They're delighted because they see that spiritual reality which the unleavened bread is the perfect natural basis for. Angels see human beings going to the Lord and taking in His divine love. That's what they see when we take the unleavened bread of the Holy Supper. And this incredible correspondential dynamic is, of course, at play with the wine. That is the other element of the Holy Supper. And we learn in the heavenly doctrine that the wine corresponds to the Lord's divine truth. So when we come to the Holy Supper, thirsting for truth from the Lord, to help replace and move out false ideas that we have from hell, the Lord will fill us with His divine truth as we fill ourselves with the perfect natural mirror of that spiritual reality of the Lord's divine truth as we take it into our very bodies. And again, the Lord teaches us why wine is the perfect natural mirror, because it's grape juice that goes through a fermentation process. And in the Arcana Celestia, the Lord explains to us that grape juice that is fermented is very much like the process we go through when we receive divine truth. Grape juice starts out with sediments from the grapes as it's fermenting, and then those sediments drop to the bottom of the container. Just as we have false notions in our mind and falsities from hell that they want us to hang on to, but when we go to the Lord for His divine truth, those falsities can fall to the bottom of our minds and be pushed to the side. That's why wine is the second element of the Lord's Holy Supper. And just like with the unleavened bread, the angels rejoice and take incredible delight when they see human beings coming to the Lord to take in His divine truth in their minds as they take in the wine of the Holy Supper. So we take the Holy Supper in the new church because we know that it opens up a communication with heaven in a way that doesn't happen in any other act of worship. The angels know what we're doing when we take the Holy Supper with full awareness of the correspondences that are active and at play when we take the unleavened bread and the wine of the Holy Supper. Correspondences are real. Correspondences have an effect. on ourselves and the angels of heaven. But they also have an effect on us by conjoining us more closely with the Lord. When our minds are perfectly open because we understand the correspondence of unleavened bread and wine, the Lord can flow in with his love and his truth and be conjoined with us, be in us in his love and truth in a way that's not possible through other acts of worship. The angels see the spiritual reality of the natural actions that we take in Holy Supper. And it brings heaven and the angels closer to this world. And when we understand the correspondential reality of what is occurring when we take the Holy Supper, we can perceive the Lord's love, and we can perceive the truth that comes from the Lord's wisdom more interiorly, more inside of us. And that's what conjoins us to the Lord. Now, conjunction with the Lord gives us the ability to love each other and love the Lord even better. This is the path toward regeneration, to be able to receive from the Lord what he gives us so we can pass it to each other and be better neighbors to each other and love the Lord by following his commandments because it makes him happy, knowing we will get the happiness that comes from following his commandments. Now, the Lord says in the work Divine Wisdom, that when anything from the spiritual as the origin and cause becomes visible and perceptible before the senses, there is a correspondence between them. When it becomes visible and perceptible to the senses, there is a correspondence to what is visible and perceptible with the spiritual cause. This can happen when we take Holy Supper. We can have a perception of the spiritual reality that is occurring as we take in the Lord's love and his truth in our minds through the perfect natural mirror of unleavened bread and wine. So when we see the elements of the Holy Supper, when we can smell the unleavened bread and the wine, when we can touch it and taste it and ingest it, knowing what they correspond to, we can receive good from the Lord's love, and we can receive truth from his divine wisdom in a way that just doesn't happen in other acts of worship. And when we take Holy Supper this way, we will truly be taking it in remembrance of him. Amen.